Let's go ahead and jump on into our message for tonight. We'll be in, I'll just have you turn over to Acts 26. Amen. We are trying to take note, too, of different just security issues that we see. We've been doing a lot there. We realize that as we get into the tent meeting thing and all that, we just have a lot of, we just want to run through a lot of different things, as well as our church. Every time our doors are open, we want to be safe and have a good plan. But if you notice something that you think is an issue, just maybe let Luke or Ryan or Micah or Levi, one of those that are kind of on duty a lot of times for those things, just maybe make mention if you see an issue there. Or maybe if you see something that's really a pain, like, man, I try to get in this door, and every time I do, it's locked. Amen. If that's you, just let's talk through it. And so we're trying to do more and more just so we can just, and a good balance of keep safe environment, open to the public, but not open to everyone in the public, especially those that maybe aren't here for the right reasons. So just, that's tough. That's always a hard thing to discern. But pray for our security side as we do those things and try to work those details out. But if you do see something that's concerning, just let the people know that are a part of that. And they'll take it seriously, and we'll just talk through it and try to implement what is necessary for what is seen. Amen. Last week, preached a message in reference to Paul and how he, when he appeared before King Agrippa, how he just told a story. And that's why I thought it was really neat. The song we sung this morning, or just a little bit ago, beginning of service, on you know, that story that we tell. Amen. Tell me that story. Tell me it again. And it's just special, that story. We all have a story if we're saved, amen? We all have a story whether we're saved or not, but the opportunity for us as Christians to minister is based on the story, our experience. No one can take that from you. Someone that doesn't believe in Christ can't take Christ from you. They can't take your story, your proof, your evidence that something happened, amen? You say what you want, but my life changed, amen? Drastically. And it wasn't just a fad. Amen. It wasn't just until something else better came along. No, there was a real change that took place in my life. So how do you know? I'm living proof of it. Amen. It's just, you can't take that away. And that's why your testimony is powerful. Your story. You can't argue against that. You're the one that experienced those details, and you can give report to it. And so Paul did that very thing, and that's what we looked at last week. And I want to focus there again this week. And so I was asked, did anybody have an opportunity this past week to tell their story to somebody? You did? Amen. How'd it go? Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. Amen. Sure. Jen, do you have a whole story? Just part? Yeah. And that's typically what we do, right? Yeah. Amen. So that's good. So keep that up. Amen. Yep. Keep telling your story. Anybody else have an opportunity? John C., you? Gotcha.
I was trying to lead into it by giving a little bit of my testimony.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had a couple others. One lady, she was Roman Catholic, but very interesting lady, and we had quite a talk. In fact, we were there for probably almost 2 hours.
Antoine said 2 hours and 20 minutes, I think he said Sunday. Yeah. But who's counting?
I don't think he's quite right on that.
Yeah. He's pretty sure. Time. He's pretty sure.
But giving my testimony to her really, and she actually started out giving her testimony to me, kind of.
Really?
And her story about how they ended up here in Indianapolis when I asked her, did you move in from, you know, out of state or someplace local? And she started telling me all about moving from New York and everything, and the difference in people and where they came from and like that. And it was very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, her mindset and what kind of a background she came from. And I gave her a little bit of my witness, my testimony, and it really led into some good discussions because she was quite willing to discuss spiritual matters and all that.
Yeah.
She just made a statement at first. She said, there are probably issues of doctrine that you and I would agree on, but she said, I'm not interested in, you know, arguing about those things, but basically she was just, she enjoyed fellowshipping with Christians.
Yeah. Amen.
So it was very interesting, but it is good to give testimonies. I am a thorough believer in testimonies.
Yeah, amen.
And because I see all the way through the Bible, Jesus used testimonies.
Absolutely. That's what we want to kind of get into tonight, just a little bit more, kind of just encouraging this side. It's not hard to tell of an experience that you've had. It is hard if you're trying to make up the details along the way. Amen. And that's why you being solid in your testimony is important. And if you're unsure about the details of your own salvation, you really need to work through that with the Lord and call to remembrance what took place. And don't think because maybe you don't have this horrible from the, you know, from the street to the pulpit type testimony. That may not be your testimony. It might be you were raised a church kid, you know, but you still were a sinner and you still needed to be born again. And there's a bunch of people out there that will connect with your story that would never connect with mine, right? So don't be ashamed of your story and don't think that because somebody in your estimation has a better story than you, they're all good, amen. Every testimony is good. And so you don't need to make your sound better by, you know, inflating this or that or embellishing. No, you just give your story. Amen. The power is in you. The power is what God did through you, what he did to you and through you and for you. Amen. And so when we tell our story, we always want to tell, we want to tell about our life before Christ, right? What was happening in your life before you were saved? And then you want to go to how you came to know Jesus Christ. How did you even come to know about Jesus? What took place? And then, of course, talk about your life after you were saved. And this can be done quickly. If you have more time, you can be expanded a little bit. If you've heard my testimony, especially the tent and all that, you probably hear different details all the time. I just pray about what to give, what not to give. I don't know if anybody's ever heard my full-blown testimony because it's a life. We're talking about a life lived. Amen. And in and through what you've gone through salvation, then beyond. And so it's your story. Don't be ashamed of it. Embrace it. Because just like Brother John said, testimonies are powerful. They are a great tool that God has given. And what this does is it means we're not just trying to give somebody some lesson on how to be saved through a textbook. Amen? It's a life communicating to a life. And this is what I experienced. Amen? And so I'm glad that a couple of y'all are using that. I will encourage you, tell somebody your testimony. Telling someone your testimony is not hard. It might be difficult to kind of get into that, but I guarantee you, if I was to follow you around or someone was to follow you around, you find it easy to talk about something. Right? So start there. Amen? And ask questions. People love when you inquire about them. Amen? And so just ask some questions. You can start off by, and this is how we kind of did it with the evangelism thing, start off and just give a real brief 30-second, you know, in a sense, this is my story, 30 seconds, and then pose to them, ask them questions. That's a great way to do it. You could start off differently, amen. And by the way, if you do that, you could say, "Now, what is your life story? Or do you have a story that's similar to mine? What's happened in your life? You know, how were you raised? Were you raised in church? Things like that. That's a little bit different than, you know, we ask what church you go to and all that. That's good, but it's a little bit different when you get personal and say, you know, what kind of a church were you raised in? Were your parents divorced? Were they together? What kind of life did you have? Did you go to public school? You know, where were you raised? When you start asking questions like that to people, they'll talk. I guarantee you, they will talk because people love to talk about themselves, about their life. And can I say, it's good. We need them to talk so that we can build a connection and then try to find out where they're at spiritually. Amen. And then kind of guide that. So when witnessing, guide the conversation, but don't over control the conversation. People like to talk about their experiences, so get them talking, ask questions to guide it ultimately towards Jesus Christ. And that's kind of what we're doing. Say, I'm not really good at that. Practice makes perfect. You got to try. Amen? And honestly, if you're just asking people things about themselves, you might not get as far as you really wanted to, but if you'll just start taking an interest in people, you know, if you just tell people what you want them to hear, you're not going to be near as successful as if you first just kind of find out where they're at, what's going on with them. Amen. And if you build that little bit of a connection first, then there'll be a good back and forth, which is really needed. Important bases to touch in leading someone to Christ. I just jotted this down today. Just kind of the four bases to touch. Like if you're playing baseball, amen. You hit that ball and you run to first base, second base, third base. Hopefully you get home and cross that plate. Amen. I believe the first base that is important for us to touch is trying to understand whether or not they believe in God. And especially in this day that we live, just find out if there's any acknowledgement there, anything at all. Do they believe in the God of the Bible as creator? If they do not, that's probably where I'm gonna start at and start asking questions. And I might challenge them a little bit in reference to that. And you can take that wherever you want. But I know this, if they do not believe in God and you just start going into your salvation presentation, you're not going to get anywhere. They don't even believe in God. Amen. And so you might want to ask them. So, you know, if you find, say, I'm kind of, you don't believe in the God of the Bible? Nah, it's just a fairy tale. Well, who told you that? How'd you come to that conclusion? Did you learn that in school? Did your parents teach you that? Were you disappointed in life? Did you used to go to church and something bad happened? What happened? And show some concern. You should be concerned if someone doesn't believe in God. Amen? And explore that first. And if someone gets on evolution, that's where I'm like, really? You believe that everything came from nothing? That's what you believe? Tell me, what do you believe about the origin of everything? Where'd everything come from? Ask them questions. Where'd everything come from? You really believe there was a big explosion and everything happened? Yeah. Does that ever happen again? I mean, do explosions create things now or do they destroy things? Ask questions. Get them thinking. They might not have ever thought about these things before. Amen? So don't just write people off. Take an interest in them. Ask questions. But if you're at first base, you can't really go past that. You're going to have to get them to the place where they at least acknowledge, you know what, there might be a God, you know? But we just can't know him. Well, why do you believe that? What if God, who is, if he's powerful enough to create everything, don't you think he might want to know a little bit about his own creation? Don't you think maybe he cares about you a little bit, right? Just looking for that door to crack just a little bit, That's going to be first base. You're just trying to figure out if they believe in God or not and kind of progress from there a little bit. I would say second base is getting them to see themselves a sinner and to understand the penalty of sin, right? And so, you could go into, I know Brother Luke does a good job on that side where have you ever broken the law, you know, and just go through those things. You can use the Ten Commandments. You can use those things. But just trying to get them to see they're a sinner, you can go another route too. But that would be what I would call second base. And then third is that they need to see Jesus as Savior. So if you can, they do believe in God. Okay, they believe they're a sinner and they believe there's a recompense for that, which ultimately is hell. And then you can go on to Jesus Christ and show that Jesus actually did come to this earth and die for you so that he could deal with that for that sin issue once and for all. Would you like to know how this is possible? Something like that. And then you can go in and beyond there. I would say the home run would be the fact that they're willing to trust Christ, repenting of their sins, and believing the gospel. But you just need to have some markers laid down in your life so that as you're talking to people, you know, okay, I got to here, perfect, now I'm going on to here. And then from here, okay, now I go on to here. and being able to draw that net a little bit. So that's kind of how I see that. Just work through that in your own heart and mind as you're preparing to talk to people and give your story. I had you go over to Acts 26. We're going to go there again because we're going to look here at this. This is where Paul did speak about his personal experience and his experience with others that led him to the place that now he's in bonds. He's been not imprisoned yet, in a sense, but he is being held. And he's now appearing before, was Festus, now King Agrippa. And he just starts telling his story. This is fabulous. Acts 26, look at verse number 4. He says, "My manner of life from my youth." So where did he start? From his youth. "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem." He told him that he was young. He grew up among his own nation at Jerusalem. Though we know there's some different, he's not given every detail. He says, known all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Well, he told a lot right there, and he's given a chance to speak. In this particular instance, Paul is given an opportunity to speak, and he's going to give the full testimony like this. Now, this won't always work out, but for him, this is, you see everything right here. And so we see here that he lays the groundwork here. He's building a connection in a story from where he wants to start with King Agrippa, in particular Festus, but he's going to take him from somewhere. So Paul has determined here that in order to best tell his testimony, let me rephrase that, in order to best get them to see their need of a Savior, he's going to have to start from his youth and bring them up through and tell a story. Everybody likes a good story. Amen? Some people are really good at storytelling, and some people aren't that good at it. But if you've experienced something, that story is powerful because you're taking people along your life with you, right? You're bringing them into your life. Let me tell you what happened to me, right? And you're bringing them along in that. And that's what Paul is doing here. Look at verse number 6. "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers." So what did he do here? He got them to see that, man, I started this way, and I've been wronged. But people do like to help the underdog, if you will. When somebody's been wronged, people at times, they do. They want to step in and help out the one that's been wronged. And so we see Paul utilize that here. Verse 7, "Unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, a hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." And so now he's just saying, all I'm accused of is what I was taught. I was taught, I was brought along in it, and we all agree with it. And now I'm being accused of this. I just believe in the promises that I was taught and that the Word of God give me. And then I like how Paul used his name here, King Agrippa. That's powerful. In the midst of your testimony, if you can call out that person's name. You know what I'm saying, Bob? It's a connection. It brings it together. It's important. Amen. And this is why most people, most of us, aren't that effective in witnessing. We don't connect with people like we need to. We're afraid of people. I mean, we've been taught from our very youth, don't talk to strangers. Right? And now, from the pulpit, you're being told, you better talk to strangers. And it's like, I'm not comfortable with that, right? And I get that, but this is what God's commissioned us to do. He's given us a story that can help a stranger. It can help those we know, but it can also help those we don't know. But in order for it to help, it has to be told. And this is really what we see here. This is what Paul is doing, and we see how he's bringing him along. I love verse 8. "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Now, I don't believe King Agrippa here stopped and said, "Wait a second, Paul, I don't even believe God can raise the dead." I don't think that's what happened. But what happens when you connect with people, and especially in this regard, Paul did, he knew something of King Agrippa. He had heard of him, knew something about him. And so if you know something about somebody, what Paul's doing here is kind of preaching to King Agrippa without being real direct. It's almost like he's on the outside looking in, and yet he's part of this. And so this is really awesome. But he says, why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? He says, this isn't something that's out there. He knows the story. He knows what happened there with Christ and all that. And so he kind of poses this and then just moves on from it. He just mentions it, moves on. He's preaching Christ's resurrection now. He lays that foundation there, that groundwork, and he's going to come back to it. Verse number 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This is interesting. He brings up the resurrection. By the way, he didn't just directly say, do you believe in the resurrection? You can bring up the resurrection and things like that a lot of ways without taking the ball and saying, okay, it's your turn to talk. If it's that time, do it. But sometimes it's not that time. You're just mentioning it. You're getting on topic, right? We know how to get on the topic of the weather. We do it all the time. We know how to get on the topic of an occupation that someone works in. We do it all the time. We know how to get on the topic of where somebody lives. We do it all the time. We know how to get on certain topics. We need to become good at getting on this topic. Amen? The topic of the resurrection. The topic of Jesus Christ and what we're going to do with them. Topic of God being creator. That topic. Amen? What's coming up? The solar eclipse coming up. Right? Have you heard about the solar eclipse? A lot of people are talking about it. People are talking about connecting some things with it, end times and all that. What do you think about the end times? You think we're close? I'm not saying anything about church. I'm not saying anything about the resurrection. I'm saying, but what did I just do? I just used the solar eclipse to get to talk about the end times. Do you see that? You're just working through things. And you're gonna find some people that want to talk about that. I got some tracks ordered. Emily sent me a link. They should be here before Sunday. About the solar eclipse, amen. So you can even use, well, you know what? Here's something you can read about that whenever you depart. It's not really about the solar eclipse. It's about Jesus, but it starts there, amen. Amen. So we see him on the resurrection. He now mentions Jesus. He says, and he mentioned Jesus in a way that was about him, about himself. I rarely thought with myself. I mean, I was talking with myself the other day. You might not want to say that to somebody when you're talking, but you know, I was thinking the other day, right, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I did shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Do you see what he's doing? He says, man, my past was like this. I mean, I was raised in this religion. I thought about doing things contrary to Jesus. I didn't even believe in Jesus. I was able to get papers from the high priest to go and do things contrary to Jesus and harmful unto those that follow him. And that was my life. That's what I did, King Agrippa. What's he doing? He's connecting with King Agrippa because that's exactly what King Agrippa's been doing. Rome was persecuting believers in Jesus. They didn't like believers in Jesus because, remember, Jesus said that he was a king. And but that was the whole method that the high priest Caiaphas and them went to bring him before Pontius Pilate, and they accused him of wanting to usurp authority of Rome, and that was their whole reasoning behind it. And we see Paul use this here, and he says that was me. I did those things. You know, in my testimony sometimes I'll connect the fact of some of the things that I did that was contrary to Christianity, depending on who I'm talking to, if it will connect my testimony. Is said different to different people. Not that my testimony changes. It's just what details am I going to bring out about my testimony? Amen? When I'm talking to people, that's very important. If I'm talking to a Catholic, I'm going to let them know, yeah, you know what? I was raised Catholic. Amen? If I'm talking to someone that's doing drugs or alcohol, I'm going to talk about those things that I've went through. Amen. If I'm talking about whatever, if I'm talking to an aircraft mechanic, I want to talk about my time being an aircraft mechanic and how I felt like I had the world by the tail, man. I was successful. I was flying over the world. I was doing these things, but yet I still had an empty spot, you see. I'm going to use these things. So I know what I use when I'm talking to people, but you have a life. You have something. And that's why we don't unload our whole testimony to people, because there's certain parts of our testimony that just doesn't need to be stated. If I'm talking to someone that grew up in church and they were a goody two-shoes their whole life, just lost, I'm not going to talk about some of my things that I've done. It's not important, you see. So being sensitive there, connecting with the people. And he says, I punish them oft in every synagogue, compelling them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them. I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Verse 12. He says, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, pay attention, king, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, oh, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Boy, his story's getting good. I imagine he is all into this and he's connecting with them. He's looking them into their God-given eyeballs. He's not shifty. He's not unsure about his testimony. He's right there. He's engaged, as we should be. If it's our story, we should be engaged with them. And not being forcing it on them, but being engaged to where they... Listen, if you can't look someone in their eyes, then no one's going to believe you. Just if you're a young person and an adult's questioning you and you're not looking at them in their eyes, they don't believe you. I'm just telling you. If they do, they're crazy. Amen? It's like the window to our soul, amen, our eyeballs. If you're a parent, make sure your kid's looking at you when you're talking to them and disciplining them. Don't let them get away with, oh, you know. No, look at me. I said, look at me. Eyeball to eyeball. Amen. Why? Because that's how we communicate. We connect that way. People that are shifty language, all they're not communicating. If you're going to witness to someone, you have to look at them. Not freakishly. Amen. Don't freak them out. Amen. Get your eyes real big. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I had an experience with God. Don't do that to them. Amen. They're going to be like, amen. So, but be real, amen. He's compelling him to a point, amen. He's all in, amen. I would have loved to have been there watching this thing, amen. Can you imagine? King Agrippa is probably on the edge of his throne or whatever it was, amen. Tuned in, listening to this. This is great. He says in verse 16 here, says, this goes on how Jesus spoke to him. He says, but rise and stand upon thy feet. He says, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. He even pulled the name Satan out, and he's talking to King Agrippa, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, called his name on again, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. What Paul said is, King, everything I stand here before you accused of, I'm guilty, but it's nothing more than that's what I was taught. I just believe the promises of God. I've got serious about this thing. God did show himself to me through this bright light. He gave me direction. I'm following through with this direction. I'm on orders from God. I stand here before you, sent from God here. Amen. And that was his gospel message. And he mentioned the forgiveness of sins and how it wasn't just the Jew, but also to the Gentiles. Why? Because the king is a Gentile, you see. And so he's connecting with him at every side. Verse number 20. But God says, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Now, the reason this is all included here is that Paul wants the king to know how he can be saved and that he's going to need to repent. And repent of all that he has done contrary to Jesus and to embrace Christ as the Messiah and repent of his sins and be willing to turn from his wicked ways. And so he's doing this all kind of third person. You know, some people, you've ever heard me teach on the scorner? I don't find anywhere in the scripture where you can, the best way we want to correct somebody is we walk up to their face and we tell them they're wrong and we tell them, get right. And how many people get right about that point? Not many. No, but a scorner is one of those, if you did that to them, they're going to rip your head off, right? And you're in for a battle. I mean, the claws will come out. They're going for your jugular. I mean, they're drawing blood, man. You just called them out. They don't like it. Well, the scorner is the only way I see a true scorner helped in the scripture is this way, third person. They hear something that's not directed at them. They're listening to a conversation, but the conversation's not about them. They are not an active member in that conversation, if you will. Does that make sense? Well, do you know a lot of people, that's how they first hear the gospel. They're at work, and in the QB farm, these guys are talking about something, and over the QB wall, they're listening, right? That's why we do want to speak up a little bit when we're talking. We were at a political thing the other night, the first debate we got to go to, that was pretty interesting, at the Palladium. It was really a neat place, amen. But we were there with the Williams, Elizabeth and Chris Williams. They're the ones that just opened up that daycare on Franklin Road, and they went with us up there. And anyway, we're sitting there talking. Well, this couple had come and sat there next to us, and he went off and did something. She was sitting there, and we're talking through things, and all of a sudden, she you could tell she's a little uncomfortable. And she got up and never came back. I mean, they never came back. It didn't matter that was their seats. They, didn't want to sit by us. But again, the point is that people do listen when other people are talking. And so that happens. But in this particular case, we have Paul talking to somebody, but talking to him in a direct but indirect way. I mean, this is amazing. I read through here and I'm thinking, wow, that is good right there, how that all transpired. And so we should be studying these things. If we really want to reach people, everybody's reached, they hear a little bit differently. You know, how is that person going to be helped? You might not be able to go just confront them over their sin. You might not be able to go and call them out on something. You might not even be able to go and sit down and directly deal with them in reference to the gospel. But maybe there'll be an opportunity where you and someone else can be talking about the gospel and they'd be close by, right? There's all these different options, and these are all things that we need to consider and not just say, oh, they're not interested. What? Do you realize that at the end of the day, they'll go to hell if they don't get saved? Do you realize that's important? Amen. It's important to them. It's important to their family. It should be important to us. Amen. It's important to Jesus. So for us just to write people off, it may not be me that reaches them. It may not be you, but we could at least pray that maybe somebody, somewhere, somehow, some way. Amen. And so we're always looking for a different avenue, even when it doesn't directly include us, or even when it includes us, but we can't speak to them directly. I hope that makes sense. Amen. And so it says, we see that Paul mentioned the fact that, again, they should repent, turn to God, do works meet for repentance. All that's there for a reason, amen? Look at verse number 22. Having therefore obtained help from God. Do you see how he's not ashamed to connect himself with God? He wasn't ashamed to say, man, God spoke to me. Sometimes we feel weird saying some of those things. Paul didn't feel weird. It was real. It happened to him. Stop being ashamed for what God's done in your life. Stop being afraid to talk about it. Amen. Like, well, they're going to think I'm strange. Maybe. Maybe not. It's still your experience. People today aren't afraid to say, hey, I think I'm a different gender. Surely we shouldn't be afraid to say, Jesus saved me. Amen. Which one's strange? People today aren't afraid to wear ears and a tail, call themselves an animal. And we're afraid to say, man, I was at church, I heard something I couldn't get away from. Lo and behold, God showed himself to me through his word. I couldn't help it. I was compelled. The day I got saved, I was compelled. He said, I don't believe it. I was there. You say what you want. I was trying to hang on to my pew. I couldn't. My hands were, I was sweating. I don't sweat very often. I hardly even sweat when I work, amen. I work hard, but that night I was sweating, amen. And I had to move. I had to move. And God brought me to the place I would talk to my pastor that night. And I got saved that night. And I got up different, changed, amen, a different person. You can't take that away from me. That happened to me. Amen. When you got saved, something happened to you too. And don't be afraid to tell these details. Say, man, if I saw bright light fell to the earth, I don't know if I want to tell people that. Well, Paul told them that. It's exactly what Paul told them. In a courtroom, nonetheless, amen. Well, find verse 22 again, having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, which, by the way, King Agrippa would have known it would have took help from God to continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things that the prophets of Moses did say should come. Time's moving. Let me just finish this out. We'll up through verse 28. Verse 23 says, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people, unto the Gentiles. And listen, Festus had enough. You can always tell when different people, how they take it. This is verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. I love that phrase, truth and soberness, so much so, well, you know. Anyway, verse number 26. For the king knoweth of these things. He didn't spend any time with Festus right there. Festus just shut up. Paul, stop it. This is craziness. And Paul said, yeah, whatever, Festus. And he turned right to the king and said, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Wow, what an experience. What took place here, amen. To be an effective witness for Christ, you just need to tell your story. And while you're telling it, invite others to it. I mean, look at what he said here. I know that thou believest. Say, you can't put words in their mouth. You can tell when someone's being pulled along and they're getting it. Amen. I know you believe. Are you willing to repent and trust Christ right now? Are you willing? What's holding you back? What is the one thing that's keeping you today from repenting and turning to Christ? What is it? You see, ask those questions, if it's at that point, amen? Powerful, powerful. How was this accomplished? Paul just gave a story. He gave his story with the underlying thought of, I'm not just trying to tell my story. Some people just like to talk to hear themselves talk. Paul wasn't talking just to hear himself talk. He was giving his story so that he could communicate the gospel to King Agrippa and then also to Festus and those around. And can I say that's what you and I as Christians should do every day of our lives. Amen. Not hard. It's not hard. It's not hard to ask someone about the weather. It's not hard to ask someone about what's going on if they're having a good day. It's not hard to ask somebody what they do for a living. It's not hard to ask somebody these questions, and it's not hard to get on topic concerning Christ and where they stand with Jesus. It's not hard. We just have to be willing to engage and take it seriously. And if we will, it'll be normal. It'll be good. Amen. And God will use you. He'll empower you. He'll give you the words to say. He'll lead the conversation if you'll just be willing. Amen. I look forward to hearing the days to come, the different things that you and I get to, conversations we get to engage in as we take this as a challenge to do as Paul did, if you will. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you, God, that telling others about Christ isn't hard as long as we're willing. It's not strange. It's needful. It's not a weird thing. It's a powerful thing. And God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to pray unto you to give us the wisdom, the courage, the desire to be used as we see Paul was used here. And help us with that, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.